Welcome to the Garden Angelus, where we talk about flowers, veggies, and all the best dirt. I'm Dee Nash from Guthrie, Oklahoma, where I garden on 7.5 acres out in the country.
And I'm Carol Michael from Indianapolis, Indiana. I have a suburban garden measured in square feet, less than a third of an acre.
We call ourselves Garden Angelus because we are evangelists for gardening. We love gardening, and we want others to love it too.
Yes, we do. And we aren't afraid to spill the beans and tell all of our gardening secrets, the good, the bad, and even the ugly. But that's enough of who, what, when, where, how, why, etc. Let's move on to this week's episode. Hello, Dee.
Hello, Carol. How's your garden growing?
Growing in this dry weather? Oh, my gosh. Rain. No rain.
You need it, huh?
I do.
It's all here in Oklahoma. It's been here. Along with cold weather, it's still only 66 degrees as we record this, which is bizarre.
That is bizarre. And, you know, at the end of my street is several small pastures.
Yeah.
And in the one pasture, there's been a cow. And the other day, it was laying down. And I said, oh, my mom, who was a city gal, used to say when the cows were lying down, it meant it was going to rain. I'm like, stupid cow, get up. It ain't going to rain.
I hope it rains soon. You guys need rain.
We do. I need a good soaking of my perennial borders. I water in the front. I don't water in the back. And you can sure tell. So,
yeah, that's how my garden usually looks. But right now, everything is green. And we are expanding a garden bed because we are insane.
You are insane. But...
The reason we're expanding it is that I want to add a few more native plants to this one bed and a few more butterfly plants, as if I didn't have enough. I went over the weekend to Tulsa because I went to the Audubon Society's garden tour, and I also went to the Tulsa Botanic Garden. And two ladies recognized me there, and one of them said, Dee, are you really buying more plants? How could you possibly need more? And I said, well, these are for the pasture, the meadow, as it were.
Well, of course you need more plants. I mean, everybody needs more plants.
So I planted a bunch of stuff in the meadow last night, and I've got a few more. I found that agostache or agastache that you were talking about, Blue Fortune.
Yes, I love Blue Fortune. Did you get some?
I bought three of them to put in the expanded bed. In my regular garden, because I saw it blooming in the Tulsa Botanic Garden, and I thought it looked so great, and it attracted so many butterflies that I might give it a try. And I asked the lady who was selling it how it does here, and she said, better than others, but you're going to have to replace it every couple of years, because here it doesn't, you know, stay. But that was good advice. You know, perennials are sometimes short-lived in Oklahoma.
Yes, which is fine.
It's fine. As long as they do what I want them to do while they're blooming, I'm good with that. So, I guess I already answered our garden commission, kind of.
Yeah, you planted more Blue Fortune agastache.
And I also planted a bunch of coreopsis, a gray-headed coneflower, which I've never heard of. And right now, I didn't have time this morning to go look up its botanical name, but that was its common name. And I planted more. I'm going to try American Beauty Berry again to save my life. I cannot grow that plant. It should be easy because it's native here. But I'm going to give it another try.
I have a Beauty Berry that is not native.
I do too.
Calicarpa, Isay, or something like that.
Mine's a Japonica, but I bought it in this lady's garden. I don't know what it
is. The one I have, I think, is early amethyst, and it's a very pretty berry, but I don't think that the native is hardy enough for here.
So I killed that one, too, early amethyst.
There you go.
I'm just being honest. This is the, what do we call it, the ugly, the truthful ugly. Yeah, I've killed a lot of that. So what did you plant in your garden for pollinators?
So for pollinators, for our garden commission, I planted ironweed, one plant, Vernania, Angustifolia, and the variety name was Plum Peachy. It's a tall or narrow leaf ironweed. And I swear I once planted ironweed, but it never came back. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to plant this And I may deadhead some of those plants because I don't need some of those to spread like they might if I didn't. And we'll talk about that when we talk about our flowers. But I'm going to leave the ironweed bloom on, and so if there's any little seeds, maybe it'll propagate itself a little bit.
Right, because I assume Plum Peachy is a selection mm-hmm. and not a true cultivar, and so it probably will reseed. I also grow ironweed in my back garden in partial shade, and I would say I don't grow the narrow leaf. It's tall though. I'll tell you what, it's very tall. In fact, I cut it back at the Chelsea Chop every year just to get it to not be quite so tall so it doesn't flop.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I might do that with this one. It's in the container. It was in a container, so it's hard to say when it actually gets growing. It's going to be at least 3 feet, I think.
I think 3 feet is kind of a nice height. This one I have will grow a good 4.5-5 feet if I don't cut it back a little. I don't know which one I have. It's not the narrow leaf, but it is a Vernonia. And I love that plant, and I would say it is a nice colonizer. In other words, it doesn't rampantly jump all around your garden like obedient plant, or other plants that I really hate, which we could have a whole episode on plants we hate. I would say ironweed is a behaved colonizer.
There you go. That's what you want.
Behavior. No kidding. No kidding.
Behavior. Some things in the garden.
In something, yeah.
So you want to talk about our quote? You came up with these quotes. You can explain it.
Okay, so I think I saw this on Garden of Bright Images on Facebook, just the first part of it. But then I went and looked it up because my birthday's in September. It was September 7th. And I love this song. And I first heard this song when I was in high school on the first time I went to New York City. And it was in a play called The Fantastics, which at that time was the longest running play off Broadway. I think it long ago closed. So the first part of it is, try to remember the kind of September when life was slow and oh so mellow. And it's by Tom Jones. But I don't think it's Tom Jones the singer. But I don't know. I just know it's in that play, The Fantastics. And we'll do the rest of them as we go with the quotes. What flower are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about fall blooming perennials for the prairie garden because I think it's a mellow time in the garden. It's cooler out there. Now, butterflies and bees are going crazy on all these plants right now. So it's not mellow for them. This is go time. This is go time for pollinators. And I noticed the squirrels are just going crazy trying to get acorns and stuff. But for most people, it's a mellow time. There's not the big rush of spring. So we're going to talk about some fall blooming perennials. And we already talked about Vernonia and Gustafolia, which is ironweed. But another good one that can be very, very tall in the back of the border is Joe Pye weed.
Right. And there's the native, which is the species. It's a Eutrochium. But there are also ones that are shorter. And you like one of the shorter ones.
I have Little Joe.
I grow Little Joe, too. Little Joe is still not very little. It's still pretty big.
Yeah. Mine's in partial shade now. But I think they can get to about 4 feet easy.
Mine's 5 feet, but but remember, I get a lot of sun because I'm further south. And if I grew the species, it'd be 7 to 8 feet tall.
Oh yeah.
Which is too tall for me.
Too tall for me. Definitely.
So I like Little Joe. Oh, and I also like, I like Baby Joe, which I've grown, but I have a new one I like.
What's that?
Phantom. And I bought more of it at that deal I was at.
Of course you did.
Well, I have one plant of it because I'm trying to be good about, if I've never tried anything in the garden before, I just plant one. Because if I don't like it, then I can pull it out and it's easier. But I really like Phantom. I've grown it now for, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 years.
So the reason I'm laughing at you, Dee.
Yes.
Because you bought 3 Agastache Blue Fortune, not one. And you haven't grown it before.
No, so. But I saw it at the Tulsa Botanic Garden and it looked great. And you also said it was wonderful.
Okay.
And I'm going to put it in that bed.
Sometimes you buy more than one.
Sometimes I do. But in this case, on Phantom, I bought one because I didn't know it at all. And I hadn't heard about it. And I thought it may be a piece of junk. Because, you know, sometimes named cultivars of species are not good.
We should have, maybe this winter, we'll just have like episodes on like, these are the plants we hate.
These are the plants we hate, and these are the reasons why. I think that would be like the best episode ever.
Oh, yeah, we're totally doing it.
Okay, so, I like Phantom, and I'm going to plant two more Phantom in that same bed. Okay, now name the next one, because I said it was the best plant you could plant for pollinators in my last blog post.
Goldenrod or asters?
Goldenrod.
Solidago.
Solidago or Solidago, however you pronounce it, is considered one of the very best plants for pollinators because it has a ton of pollen and nectar.
And it blooms late.
And there are a bunch of different varieties of it, from rigid goldenrod to the other species to, I mean, there's just so many. There's one called, I think, Fireworks. I'm doing this off the top of my head, people, so don't hold me to that one. But I'm pretty sure there's one named Fireworks. Okay, so here's the deal. I say that a lot, and I should get over it. But goldenrod.
So what is the deal?
All of them bloom at different times.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So you could have goldenrod bloom a long time in your garden.
You could, which the pollinators would really appreciate. And you know what else about goldenrod? You know what plant it goes really well with?
I do, because I'm looking at our notes, but I plant it with it anyway. What does it go with, Carol?
Asters. Especially the bluer asters, like October skies.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Or bluebird. I love bluebird smooth aster. It's my favorite aster. I bought a new aster this weekend, but I'll have to write about it this week. In fact, that's going to be my bloom day post.
So you bought just one of the new one, or you bought three?
Two.
Well, that violates every single rule. So you had a rule that says it's a new variety and I don't know about it and I'm buying one. So you violated that and you bought two. But everybody knows that two, you never buy two, you buy three.
These went in the meadow and I bought two so that I could put one in one part of the meadow and one in another part of the meadow to see. Okay. Because that meadow is big enough that there are different microclimates within the meadow. So that's why I did that. Okay. So every rule has an exception in D-land.
Every rule has an exception in Carolland as well. So,
thank goodness.
One of the ones I really like is Alma Pochke, and it is almost, I won't say red, but it's a very dark, darkish pink.
It's a very purpley pink.
Yes.
I grow it too, and I like it a lot, and it's really shaping up and looking good to bloom. Is yours blooming yet?
Not yet, but my Alma's not blooming yet, but the ones that I got from my Aunt Marjorie as pass-along plants, because asters are very easy pass-along plants. That one just started opening, and you mentioned Garden Bloggers Bloom Day, which is the 15th, which is when this podcast drops.
The longest running meme in garden history, garden blogging history.
Well, I was going to say, when this episode drops, Bloom Day will have been the day before, and so I am featuring the hint of the first aster blooming. And we'll post both of our Bloom Day blog post links in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. I think that sounds like a great idea, because I think this is one of the best things we can do for pollinators. It's the best time of year to plant, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera. Except in Indiana, where it is extremely dry. If you are going to plant, you must do what I do, and you have to really soak the ground good.
And then soak it.
And then
again,
you got to remember to go out and water those newly planted plants. And I would say, if you could wait and just keep the plants watered on your patio, it would be better to wait until we actually get rain.
Yeah, it would. Interestingly, we've had rain, but, you know, it gets dry here really fast. So last night when I went and planted in the meadow, I planted in certain specific areas and pulled out a bunch of weeds in those areas and then put the plants there because the sprinkler can get to them. And then I tested the sprinklers. We actually run them at night. I think it's 5 days a week. We run them at night because it just doesn't get enough water to stay looking good. And I pulled up a whole bunch of ragweed up there too, because ragweed is native, but we hate it.
And horrible.
And horrible.
And horrible.
Yeah. All right. So tell this this thing that you were telling me about the other day, your Forbes in the Matrix.
So about 10 years ago, I hired a woman to come and help me design a framework for my garden. I mean, she didn't do like all the details and stuff, but we did a framework because I always tell people I went to school for horticulture production and things got planted in straight rows. So we have curves in my garden and she helped me kind of put things in. But we planted this little nano prairie, literally 10 by 10. And she says, you have to put grasses in there too. And then the flowers become the Forbes in a matrix. And so the grasses sort of form the matrix and then the flowers are interplanted in that. And I think that makes a very lovely fall garden to have the grasses and the Forbes.
And the one of the most famous landscape architects of, I think he's actually he may be a designer. I don't know which discipline he's in, but Pete Udolph. We've talked a lot about Pete Udolph at the Shrine, the Blessed Stanley Rother Shrine, because we're trying to do a whole section that is Forbes in a matrix, basically, and because we want it to represent the Oklahoma Prairie, which is where Father Stanley grew up. And there's been a lot of talk about that. Here's a very exciting piece of news that fits in with that.
What's the exciting piece of news, Dee?
In the meadow, my matrix of grasses is coming up. And I've been killing Johnson grass, which is an introduced grass to the United States. But now I'm seeing the fruits of all my labor, and I'm starting to see tall bluegrass, Indian grass, grammas, short bluegrass.
That's great.
I'm starting to really see a difference. And I can tell which ones are native or good introduced grasses. There's a few of those too, because you can tell by how they grow within the meadow. Whereas Johnson grass just wants to take over the whole thing and be a big bully. These other grasses are more subtle. And oh my gosh, when the light shines through them, I have to say the meadow has been my joy this summer. And everybody needs some joy.
I have a commission in mind for me, but I'm going to give you a commission, Dee.
Okay.
I want you to go to the meadow when the light is perfect this next week, and I want you to take a lovely video.
Okay, I will.
And show the pollinators and everything, and then we'll get that video posted to YouTube or whatever so that we can see it.
Okay.
And experience
it. I will try to. I will say that the... Yeah, I can probably get some of the pollinators. I mean, we're at that point where the Forbes are not blooming as much, and it's mostly about the grasses. So I can definitely get us a picture of that. And that leads us into our next quote. You want to read it?
Try to remember the kind of September when grass was green and green was yellow. Also, Tom Jones.
I love that. I love that it's, but grasses, you know, also yellow because grasses are kind of like grains and grains are grasses and stuff. But we're going to talk about grains.
So we are going to go off the rails a little bit in vegetables and we're going to talk about growing grains in your garden. And you can actually grow things like wheat, barley, oats, sorghum, and corn is technically a grain as well.
Right.
And rye.
Right.
And so I have, the only thing, of course we've grown corn, and I've grown broom corn, which is a type of sorghum. It's sorghum vulgare variety technicum. Mm-hmm. But you don't actually eat broom corn. You use the long fibrous panicles of the seed heads. They become really stiff, and that's what homemade brooms are made out of.
Right.
And so I had the best of intentions when I grew broom corn. I harvested those panicles and then I put them in the garage for the winter. It's like, I'm going to look up how to make a broom. But I ended up throwing them away because I didn't end up making a broom.
Yeah. And you know what? Well, that's okay. You still grew the broom corn. I think that's pretty impressive. I thought of another grain that you can grow very easily in the garden if you don't want to grow
barley.
What's
that?
Although people grow barley as a cover crop quite often. You can guess if you want to, or I'll tell you.
You tell me. I don't want to guess and blow your cover because I don't know. It's not in the show notes.
No, it's just something I thought of. I was thinking, what greens have I grown? And I thought of what I was growing right now. Amaranth.
Amaranth is a grain you can grow. It's true. It's very easy grain.
Easy grain.
Easy. And by the way, if you grow amaranth, you're likely to grow amaranth forever. Because it does self-sow.
It does reseed.
Oh my gosh, it does reseed. That is a good one. The other thing that people use as a cover crop, and I've never harvested, is buckwheat. And it's not what you would think it would look like. But I always think of buckwheat. I think of my mom and my aunt because every Christmas season, my mom used to go to my aunt's and they would make buckwheat pancakes.
I love buckwheat pancakes because you know why?
You're gluten-free. You can't eat wheat.
You can use both sorghum and buckwheat because both of those grains are not, they don't have gluten, neither does amaranth. And you use all those. You can use them all as flours. But I really love buckwheat pancakes. I love them a lot.
Well, here's the funny thing. They would have to really search to find buckwheat back in the day.
Right.
And it's like this little ritual that they had. And I never remember my mom coming home and making us buckwheat pancakes. Huh. I don't know why not. So I don't think I've ever eaten them.
You haven't?
It was a thing she and her sister did.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to send you some buckwheat flour so that you can make them because, you know, but because of the gluten-free thing, buckwheat is a really popular flour now. You can make.
I bet I could find some at the store when I go.
So that's your commission from me. I want you to make buckwheat pancakes and eat them with real maple syrup this week. I promise you, you will really like them. And they're actually, buckwheat is a great source, I think, of protein, and it's got good fiber. It's actually really good for you.
Okay, I'm going to try it. But I will swear, other than growing corn and broom corn, I have no experience growing any kinds of grains, but I know people that do it. And so I went out, the National Garden Bureau has a wonderful article on growing grains that helps you get started. And it leads you to Bree Arthur's book, which is called Growing with Grains, which neither one of us have read.
No, I have read it.
Oh, you have?
And it's good, yeah. Oh. And I read her one on front yard gardening where she talks about growing grains too. I've also grown millet. So I've grown three. Amaranth, millet, and corn.
So millet I always think of as birdseed.
Yeah, but people eat it. And there's also millet flour. There's also teff flour, but I've never grown teff. But anyway, I've grown millet because there's a black millet that is really pretty in the garden. That's why. Hmm. But I think that's a great idea to get Bree's book. If you want to grow grains, get it because she knows all about it. I will not be growing wheat ever.
She calls herself the crazy grain lady.
She does. And she's a really nice person and really smart about this stuff. I don't know enough about grains. I do know this. I tried this year to grow amaranth and I was going to plant them out. We talked about this in an earlier podcast, planting them out. And I ended up with one because I should have just scattered the seed and it would have grown better. The variety I grew this year is called Hot Biscuits, which is cute.
Uh-huh.
And it is really pretty, and it's got this gorgeous seed head. And now that I've thought about that, I'm going to take a picture of it, my one amaranth plant, and I'll put it on my bloom post because it's a bloom.
And don't you feel just a little bit silly, Dee, that here's a plant that we said, amaranth, if you plant it, you'll always have it because it will self-sow all over, and you tried to sow it.
Every once in a while, my planning overloads myself because I'll get these ideas and I'll think, that'll look so great. I'll stagger the plantings and I'll, yeah. Well, what happened was is the rabbits ate them all, except one.
Oh, okay. Okay. Rabbits are smart. They know food that's good.
Yeah, they do. They're really smart in that respect. Other ways, no.
So here's the next quote. Try to remember the kind of September when you were a tender and callow fellow. I have no idea what that means, but that was just the next quote.
I'm going to say it was remember when you were young.
Yes. So you listed a book on the bookshelf. In addition to Growing with Grains, you had suggested a book on planting meadows from seed.
Yes, and I look up the title and make sure that that was the title? I think I did. It's the one.
If you did, I could not find it.
Okay. I think that's not the exact title. And that was not really good, was it? You know, sometimes I just don't do everything perfectly.
That's okay, Dee. I know you have got,
I got a library. I got it.
Okay.
I know which one it is. Okay. It's called Sowing Beauty, Designing Flowering Meadows from Seed. And it's by a man named James Hitchmow. And a friend of mine that I went to England with, who is a professor, his name is Haldor. Haldor told me that I should read this book. He's a really nice guy. And he, when I was telling him about my meadow project, he was excited. And he goes, Dee, I think you should read this book. And so I did. And it is a very detailed, very, very good book on how to make meadows from seed. I'll say this. I did seed, and I'm doing seed again this fall. It's more selective seed this year. I'm also planting plants, because you need plants that are big enough to get around the grasses. And I also have had to spray some of the grasses. So growing a meadow, in my opinion, is one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Well, but it also sounds like it's one of the most gratifying things that you've ever done in the garden.
Yes.
And so
extremely rewarding. I just want people to not feel like they should know how to do it, because it looks like it should be easy, right?
It should. I mean, you scatter seed. And that just always bothers me when they sell those seed mixtures and people think, I just scatter these seeds and I'll have a beautiful garden. It's like, not exactly.
No. And we already talked about the Mini Meadows book.
Yes.
Which we both liked too. We should link to both of these, because the Mini Meadows book is by Mike Lazotte, and he knows all about seeds, American Meadows and all.
We'll link to
so,
both.
It's a small meadow. And actually, I have a friend who did make a mini meadow this year, and he lives in Guthrie, and it's beautiful. He just did his health strip as a meadow.
So on a future podcast, you can tell me if you ever think you'll have to burn your meadow, your prairie garden.
I think you should burn your meadow. I can answer the question right now. I think you should burn it, because certain forbs do not come up well unless they're burned, because the prairie always did burn.
Right.
And most people who make meadows in the prairie will tell you that you do need to do a controlled burn. Here's the problem. You know how California looks right now?
I wouldn't do it in California for all the tea in China.
Well, there are times in Oklahoma you wouldn't do it either, because we can be just as dry. So I mentioned it to Bill, and we actually do have a water truck, and we could do it. I'm not going to do it for a little bit.
You got to let it grow a couple years.
Yeah.
So let's move on to our dirt. We found out, or you found out, that after that big debacle where people were getting Amazon packages full of mystery seeds from China,
yes,
Amazon has put the kibosh on foreign entities selling seeds through their site, which is great.
Finally.
So,
don't I sound like a jerk? I don't mean to. I just am glad they did it. Let's put it that way.
But the problem is, like with my friends got them, they were labeled like earrings. So how does Amazon know that it's not? And they look like the packages came from China. So
yeah,
I think they're making an effort. And again, we just remind people, Amazon is not the place to go buy seeds. Buy from reputable companies, many of them right here in the United States, owned by wonderful people, providing great jobs for people and getting seeds as locally sourced as they can. And so we'll link to some of those seed companies.
Okay, sounds great.
So I had another garden commission. So you gave me a commission to make buckwheat pancakes.
With real maple syrup.
With real maple syrup. And I gave you, what was the commission I gave you?
I don't remember. But I'll listen to the podcast and I'll know.
We should have written it down.
Well, it's on the podcast, so we're okay.
Yeah. But the other thing, the other commission I'm giving myself to do is, this is the week that I'm bringing, I just have like three or four houseplants outside. They're coming inside. We're kind of lulled into this false sense of fall is not coming. Fall is coming.
Oh, it's
leaves
coming.
Are starting to drop because of the drought. I'm going to bring in all my houseplants. And I found out something today, Dee. I don't want anybody to panic.
What's that?
Well, there's rumors that there's a houseplant shortage and that the supplies are dwindling.
Are you kidding me?
That people are like scrambling to buy houseplants the way they did seeds and stuff.
Toilet paper and seeds.
And so they said like a lot of the suppliers like down in Florida and stuff, they are running out. And I don't know if this is true. I got to do some research. But you know, when you're growing plants to sell, you can't push them along too fast. They just have to grow. And if they push them too fast and they're too young and they're not well rooted, you need to be wary. And I did buy a plant last fall before anybody said the word pandemic, and it was not well rooted at all. And I was extremely disappointed.
But I got one too, and it's taken me 2 years to get it going. It really was just cuttings.
The commission is bring in your houseplants, and if you see a houseplant you want, give it a tug to make sure it's well rooted. But don't hesitate to buy it because it sounds like there won't be as many as
normal.
The demand is there for
them. That's good to know. And I would also suggest in Oklahoma that we bring in our houseplants because our lows are dipping down to 52 right now. It was 52 this morning, which is unseasonably cool for September. And so I have about 10 outside, and I'm going to bring mine in too.
Okay.
This week. And all then do we need to talk really quickly about watching out for certain things on the houseplants?
Bugs? Yeah. Let's go over time a little bit. For the main thing is you got to make sure that you sort of water them really well to flush them out. And that will kind of tell you if like there's a nest of ants or something in there because they'll come crawling out. And even if you can lift the plant out of the pot, give it an inspection. You do not want to bring in spiders and roly-polies and things like that. So really look at your plants good, give them a good washing down, a good watering, and then bring them inside. And even if you have to take it out and scrub that pot a little bit and stick it back in, it's well worth it.
Yeah. And adding a little bit of potting soil and refreshing a little isn't going to hurt anything either.
No.
So that's that.
That's that. We want to thank everyone for listening to The Garden Angelist. If you like our podcast, please tell your friends about us.
And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, we'd love a review, a 5-star review. That helps us get noticed by others. Plus, hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss a single episode.
Yes, the subscribe button is extremely important to us. And be sure and check out our show notes for links for more information about today's topics, plus links to our own websites.
It was lovely to chat with all of you over the Garden Gate today. Bye until next week.
Bye.